Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is not Dr. Drew. That is Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is a OBGYN. He's a gynecologist. He's a friend of the show. He's been on way more than once. And Drew, once again, is nowhere to be found. Where's Drew? Drew is in New York because somebody dropped a nickel and he went a running. And he's going to be on Good Morning America tomorrow morning. And I don't know what the hell else he's doing. I'm going to New York at 6 in the morning tomorrow. And I'm already sort of pre-tired. Wow. See, I can be sort of a miserable person. And if I know I got to get up at 5:45, I'm pre-miserable the day before. Which is really not a great way to go through life, but that's how I choose to do it. I really have no choice.
Do you sleep on the plane, though, when you're...
Yeah. I don't care. I've done it 1,000 times. Right. No big deal. But I just... I can't go to bed. You know, everyone does that thing where they go, well, you got to go to bed right when you get home. And it's like, I can't go to bed right when I get home. I just got off of work. You go to bed as soon as you... People are stupid that way. You know, that like, if you tell me you have to get up at 3:30 in the morning because you got to do Howard Stern... You got to go to bed. It's 6:45. No, 7 o'clock that night. Right. It's like, hey, listen, jack off. I can't go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. It's light outside.
Yeah,
you gotta go to bed. Hey, I'm supposed to go to bed 11 hours before I normally go to bed. You idiot. Go to bed the second you get. I can't. I just got off work. I just got done screaming at teenagers for 2 hours. I can't go home and go right to
How
bed.
How do you wind down? How do you wind down?
Booze.
After?
Booze.
Xanax.
Pure and simple.
Okay.
Booze. Whatever. Red wine. Red wine is nice. I go home and I go home and I make love to my TiVo.
I love TiVo.
I open a bottle of red wine and I sit TiVo. There and I watch TiVo. And sometimes if I get really juiced up, I'll go to stuff I've done on TiVo, like some celebrity Toyota car race, I robbed a home run at the celebrity All Star game a year ago. The softball All Star game, just pulled one from over the fence. If I get good and drunk, that's where I'll go to. I'm just gonna watch myself rob some guy, Brian McKnight, of a home run. That's
right.
What I'll do. Or I'll watch me from the in-car camera from the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix.
And
only if I get good and juiced.
You know what you can do? Is you can press that instant replay button, like that one that takes you 8 seconds back, and you can it again
and again. Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's dangerous. Yeah.
It's awesome.
You think TiVo is dangerous for everyone else and already. Why do you get on TV and you get TiVo? You just watch yourself.
Sweet.
Just stare at me. That's all I do. I get drunk and I just stare at me. I go and make love to my 55-inch screen. That's what I do.
Good for you.
I do that until about 2:30 sometimes. I've been going to bed like 2:33 in the morning, and then I usually get up pretty early. But tomorrow's going to be 5:45. But here's the whole thing. If I got to get up at 10 a.m., I'll go to bed at 1:30. If I got to get up at 5:45, I'll go to bed at 3. See, it screws me up.
Totally.
I don't want to, but it screws me up. You see what I'm saying?
That's screwed up.
I get a little anxiety about it. It's like, I retch about it. Like, I don't want to get up. And it keeps me up for another. Ironically, it makes it worse. It's like playing with something and getting it infected. You know, it's like scratching, you know, it's like you got a cut and it's bad enough, but you got a monkey with it. Now it's infected. Now it's worse.
Thanks.
That's what it is. Vicious cycle, Dr. Ben.
Wow. Thanks for making it medical, Adam.
Thank you.
I appreciate that analogy.
See how I turn that?
Yes.
Dr. Ben is a gynecologist. He is tired of Boontang. If he never sees another vagina as long as he lives, he'll be happy. He has a baby girl.
Yeah,
how old?
She's 4 months old.
Keeping you up all night.
Oh, my God. But I love her for it.
Yeah. I know this sounds like horrible parenting, but... Do you have to get up? Like, people are doing it all the time. Like, I understand you have to feed the child.
Sure.
But when the baby's just crying away, do you have to get up? And if you do get up each and every time, is it set a dangerous precedent? And doesn't the kid just sort of blow itself out and fall asleep anyway? And thirdly, what do they remember? You know,
right.
they're 7 weeks old. What are they going to do, kill themselves at 15 because you didn't get up at 4:30 in the morning?
God only knows.
Just
know what?
Let them cry it out.
If my name was Dr. Spock instead of Dr. Ben, I might be able to answer that question. But all I can tell you is that I'm lucky enough to have a little girl that cries when she's hungry. So
that's us, it.
The guesswork comes out of it.
So she cries,
she's hungry.
You get up.
Yeah, it's easy.
Off comes your blouse.
Basically.
And it's suckling time.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Ben, a gynecologist, has practiced all around the world, which I find interesting. I never saw this. I just saw it at the moment. You did some work in Costa Rica?
Yeah, that was good times. That was great.
Yeah. See, the traveling doctor thing sounds good, but the traveling gynecologist thing has a sort of a edge to it that I'm not sure. Like, I can understand there's certain Scandinavian countries I wouldn't mind going to and bringing the hymen splitter or whatever you guys travel with. I don't know what it is, the dilator, the rib spreader,
the speculum,
whatever it is. But Costa Rica, Jamaica, and Israel, which are the three places he's done his practicing, would be toward the bottom of my list.
Right, yeah,
you
I can't imagine
saying?
You'd be looking forward to that
Haiti
triad.
Haiti might be on there. There's a few. I imagine Jamaica probably pushed through. Costa Rica. These are tough countries to work the gynecology trade in. Why these countries?
Well, interestingly enough, it was Costa Rica was there was an established program through UCLA's medical school, so that one was easy. Plus, I wanted to just kind of nail my Spanish down a little bit more, so that was an easy one. Jamaica was...
How long in Costa Rica?
Costa Rica was actually only about 3 months.
3 months. And how many women would you... I mean, you got them going through, right? I mean, you're looking at a lot.
Well, at that time, I wasn't...
You lined them up. And what is the average vagina? I mean, you know, just the crease part. Is it 4 or 4.5 inches?
Mm.
Somewhere. When I'm showing my hands, I'm showing you 4.5 inches right here. What do you think?
You know, Adam,
I actually
took statistical analysis of these
things. Close your eyes.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
3 would make a foot.
Boy.
How many miles did you look at in Costa Rica?
Oh, my God.
Thousands of lineal feet?
I'm not sure.
A lot, though,
didn't
right?
Didn't take notes, sorry.
Costa Rica?
I brought the wrong notebook today, apparently.
How did the Costa Rican vagina stack up to the Israel vagina, stack up to the Jamaican vagina? Big differences?
I'd say it's one world.
Really?
One world, Adam.
Interesting.
One world, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And no sets of problems from region to region?
You see a little bit more of something, see a little bit less somewhere else, but I'd say in general you run into pretty much the same things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How's Israel doing? Were you scared over there?
No, you know, at the time that I went, things certainly weren't like what they are, you know, more recently. So it was mostly about the medicine. It wasn't really all about, you know, going around the Gaza Strip and... taking names.
Is Israel? Is it good?
It's one, you know...
People always try to, you know, people... You know,
gotta go. I have to tell you, you gotta
really?
Go.
Really?
Doesn't matter what your background is. You should go once before
What's going
you
on over there?
Kick off.
What am I missing? Here's my problem with Israel. People overcompensate. They push a little too hard, like you're doing right now. No, you gotta go.
Well, let me tell you.
No, you don't know why? No, you should go. And I start thinking to myself, all right, now you're pushing too hard, because people don't do this with Hawaii.
You shouldn't go. I can only tell you.
No way are you going to stop me from going to Israel.
I can only tell you that.
Forget New York tomorrow. I'm going to Israel.
You're right.
Go
this
ahead.
It's just not that much further. You just got to keep going.
Keep going? You said it's further?
Yeah, a little further.
All right. What is good about Israel?
It's just, you know, I guess if you just want to look at it from a purely spiritual kind of a thing, if you want to walk where Jesus walked, if you want to, you know, look at places that are so holy to, you know, the world's major religions.
Right.
Even if you don't believe in any of it,
I think you're on the atheistic side. All those people is nut jobs.
Well,
like crazy.
It still makes you think twice when you walk around places where people, you know, just have a belief in them and this is the place that they go.
Right.
There's something very spiritual about it, and even if you're not buying into it, it's an incredible experience.
No, I believe they believe it.
Exactly.
And God bless them. It's just I would like the religious fanaticism to start being looked at as a mental disorder, which it clearly is, and people should stop respecting it and start looking at it as, you know, the same guy who thinks he's talking to Jesus Christ. Why isn't he as crazy as the guy who thinks he's Napoleon? That's all I'm saying. It's a mental disorder, and it's something that all human beings have. It's built into all human beings. As soon as you see one guy die, you got to cook up a religion. That's all. All right, I know. No one wants. Everyone's sorry. It's all fantastic. They can all just kill each other for another 1,000 years. And by the way, the Middle East, they'll have that settled by this weekend.
Sure,
no problems.
Right.
No problems over there.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. Israel, they're the sane ones over there, but they're still stupid for staying. They should just go. They should go to Baja. That's my plan.
We should all go to Baja.
Plenty of desert.
What are we doing
out there
in L.A.?
The Jews could get Mexico on its feet in a number of weeks. Just head on out. It really would work. Let's get the Jews out of there. Let the Arabs just take over the whole place. They just end up killing themselves. Once they don't have the Jews to blow up anymore, they'll just start blowing each other up. They it's in their blood. They like going at it. They're eager for the fray. That's all. They want
to
fight.
You know what? Me and you, tomorrow, we got to buy 6 million plane tickets for all those Jews to go to Baja.
I'll put them on a barge. We'll go we'll go around the Horn, and we'll get them right over to Baja. They set up their settlements there, right, and they get Mexico's economy back on its feet, stop the illegal trafficking of the drugs and the humans, the coyotes bringing the Mexicans over the border here. It's all going to take care of itself. People will be fleeing Los Angeles to get into Mexico after a couple of months of the Jews over there getting things on its feet. You know what I'm saying?
All right. What are we doing thinking about John Kerry and Bush? Where is the Corolla for President banner?
Oh,
I want that on my lawn.
The barge of Jews going to Mexico, making a pilgrimage to Mexico. And
these are great. These are groundbreaking ideas.
I'll tell you, speaking of groundbreaking, I've done a little work, too. The problem that Jews have is the soil in Baja is not holy land. But I've discovered that holy soil only goes about 6 to 8 inches. So we just got to scrape off the top layer of Israel, and we'll put that on a barge behind the Jews.
Right.
There's your holy... Right there. Get busy. There you go, Izzy.
It's so perfect and so easy.
There you
go. I should have thought of it myself.
Izzy, have a churro. There you go.
Izzy's good.
Yeah, that's my Jewish name.
I like it.
Beth?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Oh, I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
Long-time listener, guys.
Thank you. And what we're doing tonight is we're spinning it a little toward gynecology, because that is Dr. Ben's field of expertise.
Okay, great.
Not that you have to have one of those questions, and not that he doesn't know more than that. But if you tonight, if you have a gynecological question, tonight is the night to ask it. Go ahead, Beth.
Or a question about Costa Rica. We'll take all comers. Go ahead, Beth.
Beth? Okay.
You're on.
Okay. I've been able to have vaginal orgasms since a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 or 4 years old, I've been able to have them.
Yeah. We hear that once in a while. It's kind of... I don't know what to call it. It feels weird to call it an orgasm in a 3-year-old, but it feels creepy. But on the other hand, what you're saying is you would stimulate yourself and it felt good.
Right.
But did it really feel the same as an orgasm that you have now at 22?
Exactly the same, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And you would do this to yourself, or you had some weird uncle?
No, just me.
All right. Well, that's you.
And it runs in my family, apparently.
How do you know?
Yeah, exactly. What is that dinner conversation like, Beth?
Yeah, did you talk to your mom about this?
No, my cousin. Mm-hmm. She's about my age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So what's the question?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if it was normal, because most of my friends cannot relate to that.
No. Well, look, do the math. Most of your friends can't relate to it, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's a little abnormal, but not it's like being abnormal, like, well, I got green eyes and black hair and I'm 6'3". It's that kind of abnormal. Well, it's good abnormal. Yeah, it's not bad abnormal. You're ahead of the game. I don't know what percentage of 22-year-old girls can have vaginal orgasm. According to the little data I've collected on my travels, zero. Little less than zero. But I would probably say from doing this show... At 22, now it's a little different at 37, but at 22 vaginal orgasms, somewhere in the 15 to 18%
range. It's probably less than half.
According to doing this show, it is way less than half. Now, it might be somewhere around half with the oral sex.
Right. So you're splitting it between, let's say, clitoral orgasm and vaginal orgasm.
Right.
So, I would definitely say she's in the minority.
What percentage of women have their hymen broken? And we're hymen stay with you in some shape or form if it's never penetrated, or will eventually sort of slough off?
Well, I can tell you that it's somewhat rare to get what's called an imperforate hymen. So I think, when people kind of think of, their cherry being broken, or that traditional thought of what a hymen would be like, that's a fairly unusual situation. Most women's hymen is actually open. It's not containing, let's say, a thin film. Think about it this way, Adam. You know, in the beginning of football games when the football team runs through the,
break
the paper.
The banner, yes.
That is a very, very unusual situation.
Right. When people say cherry broken, they picture like almost a little balloon filled with
exactly.
blood.
Exactly. That's an extremely rare situation.
But what you do normally see is some remnant of it or
correct.
Some part of it.
Everybody's got a remnant of it, so that part is true.
And once it gets pierced and once a woman, gets into her sexual or whatever, she's in her 30s, is there any remnants of the hymen in there?
Yes, there's a little ridge.
There's a ridge where it was.
Yes, in fact, that's what we use.
The skin will sort of slough off.
Well, you can always see it. You can still always see it. And in fact, that's what we use gynecologically to differentiate between the outside and the inside. Yeah. The hymen is the geographical division. That's the line, if you will, between the outside world and the inside world.
Right. So you're looking at a vagina and that ring, even though the hymen is gone,
but
you can see the curb almost where it used
to
be.
Like a road bump, if you will, something like that. You see it,
All right. And it goes makes full
all
circle.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be like a little trampoline in there, right?
Developmentally and, as far as embryologically, absolutely, yes.
Good
If you go back far enough, yes, but
so
it's,
that's
by
when
the time
you're
that... By the time women are born, overwhelmingly, that's gone.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's more an embryological remnant than an actual remnant of, let's say, their preteens.
So your average... We're spending a little time on this.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
I am interested in this, and I think our listeners are, too, because there's this sort of... First off, a lot of idiot guys call the show and say, her hymen wasn't there, and she said she was a virgin. I don't believe her. She didn't bleed. That kind of stuff. We got a lot of cavemen listening to the show.
Yeah, okay, so you can imagine why.
So the thing about it is you're born or even before you're born, you have a hymen.
Absolutely.
And that hymen is a membrane.
Correct.
That essentially is, like when you buy vitamins, you unscrew the cap,
yes,
you take it off,
exactly,
and then there's that
that's
foil.
That's a decent
you
analogy.
You jam it with the spoon handle like a maniac.
Correct.
By the way, do we need all that? Like, I'd be like a retard, like stabbing things and grabbing and,
Good.
Let me say this, too, about packaging for a second. Everyone wants to be so safe with the packaging. Uh-huh. Like, hey, we got a triple seal this because people can get contaminated. I bet you more people stab themselves every year trying to get the goddamn package open because you guys have hermetically sealed every goddamn thing that's in the store. I'm going at it with like scissors and butcher knives and stuff. And I start getting angry and I start swinging it around and like stabbing at it. Yeah. You buy like a stapler and it comes in that plastic that gets like stuck in on both sides, and you start trying to peel it apart, but you can't do it.
So you take
a knife and you start sawing it.
Yes,
I bet thousands of people go to the emergency room each year trying to get crap open.
Plus, you actually go at it and you open it up, the edges are
sharp.
You can kill yourself.
Stop. They gotta sue. That's all I'm saying.
I hate that.
This is. And we're going to get back to the hymen, but this is what this country's become. Everything is so sealed. Everything is so purified for our safety. So we can't get at it. We end up doing more damage trying to get to it than we would have.
Yeah, I agree.
So I swear to Christ, I'm like a chimp, like a crazy. You know what I am? I'm like a crazed gorilla with some like the Samsonite luggage going at those things.
Yeah.
I start tugging at them.
Yeah.
Yes, you cut them open. Then you start wrestling. It becomes like, who's better, you or the package?
Right.
I'm going to show this package who's boss.
Yes.
You start yelling at it. You're struggling. It's very visceral.
Right.
And hair on your neck stand up. Adrenaline's pumping. I get a little semi-erect,
I can't go there with you.
You
had me like 90% there. Then you lost me.
All right.
Me.
I'm sorry. I always go too far. I didn't say full-blown erection, but not flaccid. Don't kid yourself. But the point is do I have to wrestle? Does everything have to be childproof? Do I have to wrestle to get everything open? And, all the aspirin contains, you start squeezing stuff, and you got to go in like the cough medicine. You got on your third lap. You know what I want? I'll tell you what I want.
Go.
I want a store called the Adult Store. And here's the deal. We sell stuff that is not sealed up very well at all. Aspirin, it pops right open. You want to get the cough medicine open? You don't have to squeeze the thing and turn the thing counterclockwise and then click it into position.
Right.
You don't have to crack. You don't have to crack it like a safe.
I'm seeing it.
By the way,
I like it.
We sell lighters. You can just go ahead and light them. You don't
like
have to
it.
Hold the thing. It doesn't take. Hey, Hey, Larry, come here and hold the side of the lighter. Yeah, it takes three hands to get the goddamn thing lit.
Exactly.
No, none of that. None of it. It's called the adult store.
I like it.
And here's the thing. I post a sign out front that says, look, when you enter this store, we absolve ourselves of all liability. If you buy a lighter that doesn't have three forms of safety catches on it and your retarded goddamn kid burns down your trailer, you can't sue us. And we sell aspirin that you can actually get to. Our staplers, they're loose. We sell them loose. We sell them in bulk, but we pass along. That's the point. Yeah. And adults get to go in like human beings and like buy stuff that doesn't take a degree. And like you don't have to get out a roto hammer to get the goddamn lid off of everything. How about the adult store?
Right. That is number 261 on the Adam Carolla promises as a candidate for president.
That's right.
That should be on the platform, and I'll vote for
you.
Yes,
yes. Come on in, adults. Hey, come on in, kids.
I
whatever.
Like
You enter. We can't take it. If you're under 12, you can't come in here. But, it's like trying to light a lighter, and it's like on my third try, and someone's saying, you got to push the thing in. And it's like, because some retard in Kentucky burned his trailer down, I got to fight this lighter every time. So really?
Right.
That's what we want our society to be like?
I'll tell you. We had a barbecue at our house.
Yes.
We didn't have any matches. Somebody had a lighter, and I could not thing going. I felt like an idiot.
I know.
It takes like three hands, like you said. It was so frustrating.
And it erodes the self-esteem of an adult when it says, this is childproof. And it's like, I'm 39. I can't get the goddamn thing open. Like, it's not childproof.
That.
It's people-proof. All right, the adult store.
With you.
Come on in.
With you.
Here's your staplers. Go ahead. Buy them loose.
Take it.
Buy a sack of staplers. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, where are we?
I'm winded.
I'm winded, too. I'm fired up, though. Dr. Ben is here tonight. Gynecologist.
Yeah.
What do we take? Half a call?
Yeah. I mean, geez, we're almost done.
Well, you're long-winded, brother.
I can go home now.
Drew doesn't talk.
Are we done?
You never shut up. You're like an auctioneer with a speculum.
I don't know.
Now, let me just ask you one more thing about the hymen. So the hymen is... You got me going on the staplers, but we'll go to break. Don't
worry about
relax, you know. Relax. Don't worry, you're not going anywhere.
Okay, we're good.
The hymen is when the child is in the uterus. The hymen is formed. That's when it's formed, and then they come out, but they're not usually fully formed when they come out, or are they?
Yeah, they're just kind of eaten away from starting from the middle and then going towards the side.
Right.
And then the sides, the stuff that, we're actually seeing is just what's left over.
So your average 15-year-old who is a virgin, would have about what in there?
When you say have about what in there?
Well, I mean, what percentage of the hymen is intact?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say for like 95%+, it would be the same ridge that you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is, and this is where I think some of these questions might come from, is that the ridge is all connected. Usually after intercourse, the ridge is somewhat perforated on the sides. The ridge still exists.
Right.
It's just that it's not all connected.
Interesting. So that's really more the way you
that's
can tell
more what
somebody had intercourse.
It may not necessarily cause bleeding, but it usually causes some kind of pain. And I think that's where most people get that whole idea.
So it's almost the band that is the base of the hymen or the ridge of the hymen gets broken up.
Yes.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break.
That.
Very
Thanks.
Solid. Dr. Ben filling in tonight for Dr. Drew. Dr. Ben, gynecologist, OBGYN. He'll tell you everything you need to know about your parts down there. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. Actually, I don't know if I can do that. We're just talking off the air.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
how anything ever gets done around here, which is like if we move or get a security guard or do almost anything, which is I ask for a year. And then eventually after a year, I set a date where I won't come in to work unless whatever happens. And then they always do it. And that's how it always works.
Right.
Dr. Ben said, it's nice that you can do that. And I'm saying I'm not sure if I can. But I have a bunch of jobs, so I don't really care if I get fired. That's what you got to have.
That's you know what? In a way, that's also a good thing.
Yeah.
So that's either way, you win.
Got to have what it's called FU money, kids.
Mm.
You see? Smart. You got to have a little FU money in the bank. See what I'm saying?
Like that.
The more money in the bank, the more people you get to tell to F off. There you go. Dr. Ben is an OBGYN. He is a gynecologist and also just a... do you do any other kind of medicine? Not that you have to, but you ever work in an emergency room or something like that?
Well, I mean, there are gynecologic emergency... I mean, anything that essentially can happen with gynecologic organs, you end up seeing first. So whether it's mm-hmm. ovarian cancer, whether mm-hmm. it's menopause, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, adolescents seeking birth control or talking about sexually transmitted diseases, whether it's somebody with a high-risk pregnancy, diabetes in pregnancy, seizures. I mean, you end up taking care of anybody who's, you know, got issues with their gynecologic organs. So whatever
it is. Ever see any dudes?
No, but you know what? There are transsexuals who go to gynecologists. I just never taken care of one.
Smart. Yeah.
So, but it is
like
possible.
When you get that call, like, hey, Dr. Ben, my name's Sal. I'd like to come in for a pap smear.
Never saw that. Not yet.
Yeah, we're closed on Wednesdays.
I'll tell you this much. It would make for an interesting, let's say, waiting room. So that would be very interesting. But you know what? There are people, I'm sure, who do that practice. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's out there.
Now, let me tell you, I got no problem with those guys charging just a little bit extra. But by the same token, you know, Jessica Simpson slides in and she's got a concert in town and she needs a quick, needs you to throw up on the rack real quick. That's a freebie.
On the rack.
Pass it along. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to charge a little more for this one, you get charged a little less for that one.
You know, women think of going to a gynecologist as torture enough, and now you're referring to, you know, an exam table as a rack.
Yeah, well, I don't know what an exam table.
So happy about going to my job. That would make me the executioner, wouldn't it? I mean, what would I be, the torturer guy?
If it's the rack, you'd be the guy with the leather hood.
Right, perfect. That's why I went to medical school, Adam.
By the way.
My job.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Like, I think a lot of women, young women, are nervous about going to the gynecologist, mm-hmm. and it's strange for them. And I think a lot of women either want a woman or want a wacky nationality that they cannot connect with in any way.
I'm that wacky nationality.
You're close to it, but not really enough. Your eyes are a little too round. It's not going to work. That's why you need the hood.
Oh, boy.
Just the leather hood.
Right.
It's anonymous. Hey, you don't know if it's your gym coach or Charles Manson in there. The point is no real eye contact. It's a totally anonymous experience. Business. Do you know what I'm saying? How about the gynecological hood?
Right. Or I should just do it over the radio like I am today. That's completely faceless and completely impersonal.
Obviously, you got to get in there. They got to get up on the stirrups. You got to get your hands dirty. I'm just saying, looking them in the eyes, a little uncomfortable. Mm. You put the hood on. It's sort of, they do that to horses, you know, when horses have to travel. They take animals and they try to capture them in the wild. They'll put like a pillowcase on its head so it doesn't get spooked.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you put the hood on.
Right.
It's just for the young girls.
Yeah.
Just so they're not freaked out.
Okay.
You pop up with the hood. They think the Klansman is going down on them.
That's good for business, Adam. Thank you. Want to be my office manager? Come into the office tomorrow.
Here's all I want to know. You got someone who's nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. They're coming in there for the first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know the panties are off. They're up on the stirrups. You're doing a little pap smear. Where are you looking? You looking at the vagina? You looking them in the eye? It's a little creepy. You know, like when sometimes people can type and they look at you when they type.
Right.
It always gets a little creepy because it takes me like 10 minutes to find the Y on the keyboard. But they're like, and they're looking at you, and I'm getting a little freaky. It'd be weird if someone's working on my vagina and looking at me. Do you look at them? Do you look at the vagina?
Let me ask you this. When you change your oil, I mean, do you look at the hood or do you look at what you're doing? You just look at what you're doing.
You look at what you're doing.
You always look at what you're doing.
Yeah, but there's a human being there who might be a little nervous.
Sure, so you talk to them first. I mean, listen.
But you're down. You're looking down. It's weird. It's creepy if you're looking them in the eyes and your hands are down.
Let's put it this way, Adam. When you first meet a patient.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what everybody else does, but when they first come into the office, especially, you know, their first time around, it's always with their clothes on, in my office, taking history.
You're talking.
Just talking. Yeah. So, you know, at least
You have fat hands, by the way. Okay. I mean, big hands. Let me see those mitts. Yeah, they're not long, but they're wide.
Right.
Yeah, that's no good. Yeah, they're not slick.
Yeah.
They're not waif-like.
You should be a gynecologist.
I really should because my hand, it cheats the wind. long and graceful. All right. So you look down at where you're working.
You always look where you're working.
And if you got someone who's a little nervous, what do you tell them?
first time.
Well, you talk to them long enough and you explain what you're going to do enough where mm-hmm. they know exactly what's coming. You never mm-hmm. sneak up on anybody. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. So
right. Okay.
As long as they know what's going on, right. usually they're not scared.
Okay. All right. How long does a pap smear take?
I mean, if you're talking about just doing it,
just
it's
a pap
like
smear.
if you cut to the chase and just do it, it's a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
if that.
Okay. What about my venereal sniffing dogs? Do you remember
we talked about that?
Yeah.
I think it was more HPV, though. I think they could have done both HPV or STDs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you in line with that?
I'm waiting for the first test dog to come out.
I'm working
from training.
On it. Robert, I got to work on my attack crows. That's why I got some other ideas.
I want to hear about them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should take a call.
Robert?
Yeah.
What's happening? You're 16.
Yeah, what's up?
You got a Germany or Florida?
Yeah, I do.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Hold on. Let me just tell Dr.
Yeah,
Ben.
What is that?
Germany or Florida. All bizarre stories emanate from either Germany or Florida.
Okay.
Whenever you hear some crazy, ghoulish, macabre story or some bizarre thing, it's mostly out of Florida. By the way, almost everything is out of Florida in this country. Whenever you hear something weird, it's always Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then abroad, it's almost always Germany.
Okay.
So you tell us the bizarre story, we tell you, is it Germany or Florida?
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Can we bet on it?
We can bet on it.
Okay, go for it.
Go ahead, Robert.
Well, hey, before I start, can I tell you that my radio station stopped airing Loveline because Jeremy Piven, you know, dropped the F-bomb?
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Jeremy, Anderson, I'm not sure if anyone made you aware of this, Anderson. Engineer Anderson, you were out of town,
I believe. Yeah, I know all about it.
Jeremy Piven was on this show, and he's been about 1,000 movies. You know him, if you saw him. And he yelled, F-face. I mean, he didn't say the F.
Right.
He didn't say F. He said the whole word.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, F-face, he yelled. And it was good. I like it.
You laughed.
It was funny.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure.
It was funny. Okay. We have an 18-second delay. And, of course, as soon as Piven yelled the F-face, Drew and I, you know, leaned into the mic and said, listen, Engineer Ken, you may want to grab that one.
Right.
And evidently he didn't.
He didn't. Ugh.
Yeah. So it got out.
Who gets fined under those circumstances?
I have no idea. All I know is that, you know, people have been fired for much less than F-face. So the point is Robert's calling from Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right.
So they didn't drop the F face, and it got out over the air, and so then the station dropped the show.
Wow,
is that what happened, Robert?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Your station canceled.
Yeah, they just won't play it anymore. They're playing music now where Loveline used to.
Oh, all right.
This kind of music.
Well, here's the thing, everybody. I don't care. We got plenty of stations. I have no idea how many exactly. I don't know where they are, and I don't know when they're picked up, and I don't know when they're dropped.
That's the FU money talking.
There you go. F all you.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean,
that's right. And let me explain something. Don't think we have discussions about any of this stuff. It's not like someone, Ann, runs in and goes, we got dropped from our Tennessee affiliate. This is the first I've heard of it, by the way. How long has it been off, Robert?
Probably about a couple of days now. A
couple of days. All right. Well, I'm devastated, but now I'm over it. So now how do you hear the show?
I have to get on the internet, and I'm streaming it in from San Diego.
Oh, all right.
91X.
There's a hell of a radio station,
and
we've been on that one since day one.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Germany or Florida, Robert, and thank you for going through all the hard work to find the show.
Yeah. All right. A supermarket checkout worker stashed the day's taking into her shoes and hit herself over the head, pretending she'd been held up and attacked by a robber, police said on Thursday. Mm-hmm. The 26-year-old woman told police she was alone in the store when a masked man forced her at gunpoint to fill his pockets and several bags of money from the shop's cash box before knocking her unconscious with a blow to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Police became suspicious after medical examinations revealed the woman's head injury didn't match up to her description of the attack.
Mm-hmm.
The woman then confessed that she had hit herself on the head with a blunt object and stolen the money to pay off debts.
Mm-hmm. And then it was her own shoe she hit herself on the head with?
Yeah, it just said a blunt object.
Oh, okay. There's nothing about a shoe. I don't know where I weave that in. All right. Now, here's the thing. Everything, this feels very white trashy, and everything white trash feels Florida. Could be Germany,
I disagree.
Too. Now there you go. This is sort of diabolical. It's almost too smart for Florida.
I'll tell you why I'll go with Germany.
Why are you going Germany?
I think in this country, there are cameras everywhere. I think nobody trusts employees. Mm-hmm. I think this is more likely to go over in Europe. So I'm going to go to Germany.
Interesting.
Because they would have just pulled up the tape, seen that she was full of it, and then
you're right.
They would have called
there
her on it.
There couldn't be a convenience store or supermarket.
No way. Everything's got cameras.
Got a camera. Very
this is
astute.
Germany.
This is Germany. God love you. Robert?
Yeah.
We're going Germany because of Dr. Ben's camera theory.
All right, well, he's smart because it's Germany.
Yeah.
Thank you. Med school, baby.
Very
Med
smart.
Med school.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to edit a whole lot of things out before I read it.
Once in a while, they'll last night somebody used wash up on a sandbar and things like that.
Come on. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sandbar. Okay.
Right. All right, let's take ourselves another call here. What do you like here,
I
Dr.
like that.
Ben?
Where's that Band-Aid at?
I'm sorry.
Let's take some
Elizabeth.
PYN stuff.
You're 19. What's up?
My mom read an article in a magazine that said that birth control was not as effective in women over 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that.
Well, it's actually more effective because guys don't want to, they don't want to get with them. So it actually slows it down a little bit. Yes, Dr. Ben, the big change?
I would say that there is something to that. 150 pounds is a little on the light side. There are several things that I read about 85 kilos being kicked around when you convert that to pounds, that's closer to 180, 190 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a huge swing, if birth control pills are 99% effective overall,
right.
We're talking in that population, they are around 98% effective. So there is a difference.
Barely measurable.
There is a difference, though. There is something to what she said.
And there is something interesting in general, which is our society is getting so goddamn fat. I mean, all the kids, kids are huge, they're behemoths now, and women, men as well. Well, the things that used to be considered doses, one beer will screw up a 110-pound chick, but if the guy's 300 pounds, one beer is nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know this is not quite the same, but I'm
right.
just wondering
no,
if we're going to need to start ratcheting up our doses for almost everything.
Well, the other thing about, what we're talking about with Elizabeth is also that the trend in birth control pills and the trend in general with hormonal contraception has been to go lower and lower and lower in doses because we're trying to give the same effect as far as not getting pregnant and
right.
give less side effects by decreasing the amount of medication. So the
right.
trend is going in the opposite direction than the weight.
Right. So do you think that soon, if you had a patient come in
yeah.
and she was over 200 pounds
right.
and wanted to get on the pill,
yes.
would you advise her to take?
Yes.
Now, how do you do it? You start breaking them in half?
No, you just prescribe her a higher dose pill.
Oh,
there are
just
over 100
dose.
Different types of birth control pills out there. You can certainly find, you would stay away from the lower dose ones. That's basically the point.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So you go higher dose.
Yep.
All right. And by the same token, you get a little Asian broad in there going with 98 pounds. She goes low dose.
That's correct.
Smart. Very smart. Dr. Ben is here tonight. He's a friend of the show and filling in as Dr. Drew, as he's known to do from time to time. OBGYN, so anything about that part of the body is tonight's a good time to ask it. We'll take a quick break.
Where's Dr. True?
Yeah. Jason and Nickel in New York City, everybody. And actually, I'll be leaving in about 7 hours.
Jason and Nickel. Dr. Drew.
No, I'm forced to go to New York. I don't want to go. That's the whole thing about me. I don't want to go anywhere. I like to stay here.
Be easier.
You know what I mean? I love the kids.
That's why you're here during the show?
That's why I'm here. So I'm here. I don't need to be here. I got FU money up the wazoo. Do you think I need to be here?
No. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night? What are you doing here?
I don't need to be here. You know why I'm here? Because I love the kids, and I love the sound of my own voice.
And there's nothing good on TiVo.
And there's, and my baby will be full. Her belly will be pregnant. She'll be like at 9 months when I get back, and I'll be watching everything on TiVo.
Great.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. Ugh. Doing a wonderful job, as per usual. Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
Who's saying this?
That's me.
That's you?
I'm singing the old vagina song.
It sounded like Homer Simpson.
Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
Yeah. You're laughing through it.
I don't know
that's
why.
Great. Yeah. It's a good ad lib.
Cracks me up. Yeah. Yeah, that's genius.
I can see why this show is on at 11 o'clock at night.
That's why I get the big bucks. That and Jeremy Piven likes to yell F face every once in a while. Well, people are pretty freaked out in today's climate. You know, FCC coming down and cracking the whip and all. And, of course, you know, we don't have any real problems in this country, so we got to focus on things like boobs and the F word. Very important. Emily?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah. Is the gynecologist there?
Yes, he is.
Okay. I took the Depo Provera birth control shot probably like 2.5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately it made me like impossible to lubricate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like really, really, really bad, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was wondering, you know, like, I'm due to get another shot in about 2 weeks, and it's kind of gotten a little bit better, but I'm still, I never got back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, like, really, really, like, not a problem ever.
Sure.
And so I was wondering if there was another kind of birth control method, like maybe the ring or something, but not pills that wouldn't do that to me.
Okay. So basically, Emily, you're on, the difference between birth control pills, the ring, the patch, and Depo is that Depo contains only one hormone.
Yeah,
it contains
progesterone.
Uh-huh. Right. Whereas all the other kind of the other hormonal methods of contraception, which we mentioned, contain both estrogen and progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
When you get dry, it's because the vagina does not get enough estrogen.
Why does the Depo shot just have the one hormone in it, not estrogen?
Because
you said that was progesterone?
Yeah, because the Depo progesterone basically acts on the brain to fool the brain. It does that well enough on its own to fool the brain into thinking that Emily is essentially pregnant. That's how all birth control pills work.
Oh, really?
The hormones that the ovaries make are essentially given in high doses.
Mm-hmm.
The body can't tell where those doses are coming from.
Right.
The brain assumes that they're coming from the ovaries.
Why does the brain talk to the mouth?
Well, the brain basically talks to the bloodstream. And as soon as you get hormones into the bloodstream,
the brain
says, you know what? Wherever this is coming from, the ovaries need to stop working because I'm getting plenty of hormones into this bloodstream. So ovaries quit it. And that's basically how women don't get pregnant.
So
their ovaries aren't
pregnant,
working. Exactly.
And you can't get pregnant again when you're pregnant.
That's correct. So the ovaries are now not stimulated. Now, the problem with doing it with Depo Provera is that when there's no estrogenics, when the ovaries get shut down, that's the only other place where estrogen is going to come from. If it ain't coming from the injection, and it isn't because progesterone is the only hormone that she's getting, you've got now zero estrogenic stimulation. So lubrication out the window. By the way, some women even get hot flashes on occasion on Depo Provera, just like when they go through menopause. They don't make any more estrogen, so no vaginal lubrication, some hot flashing on Depo.
So what do you think of the ring?
Well, the ring is great. Let me just ask Emily one thing. How did you get to Depo Provera? Obviously, there's something about birth control pills that either didn't work for you or you didn't want to try
I don't even want to bother. You know, I'm not really good at taking pills the same time every day. You know, I don't want to deal with it. So I was considering the NuvaRing, definitely, if that would help.
So let me describe the NuvaRing for people who haven't heard about it. It's a relatively new birth control option now. NuvaRing, if do you guys remember those kind of the bangle things that people used to wear on their arms, the little plastic black bands that people like Madonna bands?
Black rubber bracelets.
Okay, imagine a black rubber bracelet like that, about 4 inches in diameter, completely elastic. In the middle of that plastic, there are estrogen and progesterone hormones.
So it's just
a ring.
It's 4 inches around.
Yeah.
That's 4 inches.
Yeah. It's not very big.
But that's big.
Well, here's my 4 inches.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so it's something like that.
I like your 4 inches. That means my penis is 5.5.
All right. So it's
4 inches. Okay. That's an inch and a quarter.
Right. So it's very
doctors with your metric crap. You lose touch.
Right. So let me tell you what's easy about the NuvaRing and where you might go with this. First of all, it'll definitely help as far as the vaginal dryness. It contains estrogen and it goes right into the vagina. So immediately the vagina gets stimulated with estrogen. And immediately, your lubrication is going to be where, you know, you're going to be more comfortable.
How long are they good for?
They're good for 3 weeks at a time. They're essentially, you know how on a birth control pill pack, most birth control pill packs, when you open it up, you get 3 weeks of hormone pills, and then you get 1 week of placebo.
You get the sugar pill. But,
exactly.
So do you put it in yourself?
Yes.
Does one put in? So do you buy the rings in a set?
You can buy a year's worth? You can buy a year's worth if your pharmacist will let you. But basically, they dispense 1 month at a time, much the way that, let's say, birth control pills are dispensed 1 month at a time through most insurance programs.
You have to go to the pharmacy once a month to get a new ring?
But most people go to the pharmacy once a month to get birth control pills.
All right. But, okay.
So it's the same kind of thing.
We've got to take a break.
Okay.
The guy can't trust you with six? Wait, you shove one up your ass or something?
You know what? Insurance companies rarely dispense more than 1 month of medication at a time.
Fantastic.
And that's the deal.
All right. See, it's demand.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Dr. Ben, OGBYN, filling in for Dr. Drew, who's chasing nickel in New York. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Ben, board certified, OGBYN, gynecologist, and
Emily's gone. But I want to finish up the NuvaRing issue because I think this is really good for her to consider. Because first of all, it'll take care of the lubrication issue. So in 2 more weeks, when she's due for her depot injection, she should definitely
ask for the NuvaRing.
Yeah, I talked to them about either the NuvaRing. I mean, from what I understand, from the reason that she got on depot is that she can't remember taking pills every day. She doesn't want to bother with it. So she really doesn't have, you know, a whole bunch of options now. She's got one, which is the NuvaRing. You put it in for 3 weeks at a time. You leave it in.
Mm-hmm.
You can even leave it in for intercourse. 90% of guys won't even know that it's there when they have sex.
I don't go that deep.
And then the other option that she has is...
What do? You split the NuvaRing? You go right between the NuvaRing?
You just don't feel it that it's there. You can squash it. It's so malleable that most guys wouldn't even know.
Well, why not put a little speed bump on it? Let the fellas know there's a little something in there waiting for them.
And if they do feel it, she can just take it out. As long as she takes it out for less than an hour,
I wouldn't mind feeling it, to tell you the truth.
It's up to you.
I like that feeling.
Up to you.
Yeah, it's not like there's a bear trap in there. It's just a little extra grab.
Maybe for you, maybe that'll work.
Yeah, I need that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that.
We talked about the inches before, right?
Yeah. Well, I like the idea that 4 inches to you is an inch and an eighth.
Yeah.
I like that. But you know how I measure the penis.
And it's,
oh,
no.
Oh, yes. I've worked out my own way of measuring the penis.
Yeah. This is the Corolla metric system.
This is not a unit of measurement, but it's a technique of measurement that I've worked out. Okay. Because there's confusion about the way to do it. Here it is. From the center of the anus to just past the tip. Okay? And that, when I'm in charge, we talked about many of my other things, that will be the official way to measure the penis. Center of the anus, just past the tip.
Right. We got to ask Dr. Alter about that because I'm sure he's, you know, measured the penis before. We got to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. He always measures them before he cuts them off.
Okay. Let me just finish up with Emily real quick. Because it's the other one that is a good option for her is the patch. The patch, instead of the daily thing, like with birth control pills, the patch is once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing she would have to remember is the day of the week that she last put the patch on, because that's when she would take the old one off and put a new patch on.
Shouldn't there be a place on the patch for like a date or a stamp or something?
There is in the patch box. So just like a birth control pill box, there's a box that you can put your patches in, and instead you just basically have a dial to the day of the week, so every time you open it, it'll just say Wednesday or Thursday. So you remember, okay, Thursday, I changed my patch.
Take a Sharpie and write like 7/24 on it.
You could do that.
Why not?
I
like that.
As long as you remember. So anyway, Emily has multiple options, and hopefully Emily's lubrication issues will get settled down.
If you were to see some 18-year-old who said, you know, I'm healthy, I have no problems, I'm non-smoker, and I don't take any drugs, I want birth control. I just want effective birth control.
Yeah.
What would you put them on? I would say
90% of the time you're going to start with the pill.
You would start.
Absolutely.
Why not the NuvaRing?
Well, you know, NuvaRing is great. I can tell you that in general, patients like taking birth control pills better, just as a first option.
All right.
It's just most women, if you start talking to them about putting something internally and then having it there during sex, they're going to feel a little weird about it.
Okay.
If they can take a pill, they'd rather try that first.
Fine. Nicole?
Yes.
You're 19?
I am.
What's up?
I have this issue where I only attract quite significantly older men.
Yeah.
And to the point where I think they need Medicare. And I'm 19 and I work in a bar, so I'm constantly in an environment where there's older men around me, but never the 21 or 20, you know, 25 or 26 year olds like me. It's always the 35 year olds.
Yeah, what do you do at the bar? What can you do at a bar at 19?
Oh, I do their validations till 2 o'clock in the morning.
You do what?
And I make sure the restaurant's clean.
Okay. You're like a greeter or something like that?
Yeah, a greeter, and I just say hello and goodbye, make sure people are being safe and stuff like that.
Yeah, all right. So you got 30-year-old guys hitting on you, or older guys hitting on you.
Yeah.
Is anything wrong with you?
I guess, you know what? I have a question for Nicole. Are you attracted back? I mean, is this just going towards you, or do you want to get, do you feel like that would be an appropriate relationship for you to pursue?
Well, I have pursued relationships that are quite a bit older, but all my friends are my age, and so for me to take one of my boyfriends or someone I'm dating who's 32 years old, it just doesn't work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What about we set you up with engineer Chris, who's 27? He's a little bit old, but he lives at home. So I think that kind of youngens him up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, buddy?
Yeah, okay. That'll work.
He's a good guy, and he's practically a celebrity. He's on the show almost every night when we make fun of him for going to taking one class at
Junior College. I don't know what to do, though.
By the way, hold on. Dr. Ben.
Dude, I'm popular, man.
If you are you? Do people know who you are?
No.
Shut your mind.
Okay.
Your parents would have killed themselves if they found out you were taking one class at junior college, right, Dr. Ben?
That's good.
Killed themselves. As long as I was happy.
That's a good one. That's funny. Your parents would have killed themselves.
Dude, I work all the time.
I'm used to it. All right, buddy, you're busy. You're busy. Nicole.
Yes.
All right, here's the thing. If you're an attractive girl and you work at a bar,
you're going to get hit on.
Guys are going to hit on you, and here's the dealio.
Are you a Mormon?
Guys that are... Shut up, Drew. Guys that are 30, 32 are a little more together than 22-year-olds in the sense that they have more confidence. They don't mind walking up to a woman. They'll look them in the eye. They'll ask for a phone number. They're more forward. They got their own condo. They got their own car. When you're 22 as a guy, 20, 19, you're squirrely. You are. And
are
you
they
don't
afraid
go up to
of me?
No, they're
because
they're yes. Here here's what they I'm... here's what they are. Here's what they are. Here's the reality of it. 32-year-old guy who hangs out at a bar in Huntington Beach is an experienced hunter. It's almost like a look at a hunter. And when you're at 19 and 20, you're sort of a fumbling hunter. Mm-hmm. You're not very good at it. And there's some guys that are better at it than others. But the 32-year-old guys will come up. They got the lines. They got the play. They do their thing. The other guy's 22. He's living at home. He's driving his brother's car that he's borrowed. He's much, much squirrelier. You see what I'm saying? So maybe it's the confidence level and the experience level of the 30-year-old guy that makes them come up to you. Right. There's probably a bunch of 22-year-old guys at the bar who think you're hot and are just too squirrely to do anything about it.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Thank
but
you.
I also want to. I just was wondering.
Chris agrees too.
Okay, so that's
shut your mouth. All right, well, here's the whole thing. I don't want to get into Nicole because it's not a real problem. Here's the deal: if the guy's 32. Don't give him your phone number. And don't worry. You work in a nice place. You're cute. You're a greeter, server, whatever. Enough 23-year-olds will come up and ask you for your number.
Eventually, a confident 23-year-old will come up to you.
That's
and say,
right, right. No, and there's nothing that you're doing that's preventing that from happening. Joel?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
What's your question?
All right, dude. I got a pretty hottie girlfriend. I mean, she's damn hot. Mm-hmm. And everything's fine except for when, you know, I'll be driving her somewhere and a little road head will pop up and it's just not working. I've never gotten off to her oral and I don't know why. It pisses me off.
Yeah, you're 18. You got to work it out. Some guys aren't into that. And by the way, you may just be a very passionate man like Dr. Drew.
Oh, yeah?
They enjoy intercourse so much that oral sex just seems like it's a distant
second. It's like an appetizer, man.
Yeah.
Eat before you eat to make you more hungry.
Yeah, that's right. So Joe, what a delight.
Joel's got the good line. No, Joel should go to Nicole at the bar because he's got the lines.
Yeah, and by the way, you want an 18-year-old?
Yeah.
Nicole, this is what you get.
The guy.
This is what you get.
Yeah.
Guys, I have wind-up beanie and an attitude.
There you go.
Oh, it's nothing worse than it. You know, there's nothing worse than an 18-year-old guy who's getting copious amounts of sex and just that testosterone oozing out of their eyes. Okay, here's the deal. A, who cares? B, that's just you. C, you'll probably settle into some sort of rhythm. But then D, that's not your thing. Like, look, if you were a little more into it, you'd probably have an orgasm. I mean, it's hard to argue with not having an orgasm. You're into it. You're just not that into it, not into it to the degree that you're into intercourse. Drew and I worked this out. You know, Drew and I, first off, pardon the pun, almost came to blows in the studio. Almost came to blows.
Over this issue.
Physically almost got into it.
Right.
And you know, Drew's a passive man.
He's a very passionate man.
He's a passive and passionate man.
Oh, okay. Was he more passionate or passive that night?
He was more passionate that night. I'm a kitten. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a kitten. We almost took each other out here because I enjoy a nice BJ. That's my thing. Spread the word. And by the way, nobody receives oral sex as good as I do. A lot of guys brag about, oh, I give great oral sex. Fine. You guys are dime a dozen. I don't even want to compete with you guys. I'm saying, ladies, no one receives like the ace man.
Ace
I mean,
man.
The posture.
Like it.
I'm great. I don't do anything. I don't like hit you with a shoe on your head or nothing. I'm great. No sudden movements. Nobody receives better. Spread the word. Nobody receives better than the ace man. But I'm not here to brag. What I'm saying is Drew, my partner, I thought was my friend, does not like oral sex. Does not. And as it turns out, the reason Drew doesn't like oral sex is not because he doesn't like oral sex, is that he loves intercourse. That he's such an exquisitely passionate man that the oral is just, it's no good for him. It's not intercourse, and if it's not intercourse and there's intercourse to be had, then he wants to get to the intercourse. And there are plenty of guys that are like that.
Sure.
Possibly yourself, Dr. Penn.
Player's choice.
On your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm starting to think that the Joels of the world just maybe are they're so into getting it on that this just ain't it. That ain't it for them. And the fact that you can't have an orgasm again, you'll work that out. You're young. You're 18. Besides, by the way, cry me a river. You're getting BJs on the road at 18? Dr. Ben, you weren't getting any of that stuff, were you?
God.
No.
I didn't go to my prom in high school.
Oh,
okay, I got nothing.
Sad.
You know us nerdy guys with a 40-pound backpack, the guys in high school y'all made fun of? That was me.
So what was it? Now, where did you go to high school?
Beverly.
You went to Beverly, huh?
Yeah.
And is your dad a doctor?
No, my dad's an accountant. I'm the only doctor in the family.
So you went to Beverly High.
Yeah.
Then you went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to UC Riverside undergraduate, and then UCLA Medical School.
So you were a good student in high school.
Yeah.
Took the SATs.
Yeah.
Took some like advanced placements,
sure.
And AP classes.
That, you know
and
how
stuff
good
like
for
that?
The lady. You know how good that
oh,
goes with the
it.
Ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
They love that.
Let
stuff.
Me tell you something about smart high school and its relation to ass. Zero.
Inverse relation.
Inverse. You're actually punished for knowing
yes.
things.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. Hot chicks are always a little bit stupid, and the more you know, the less you can communicate with them because you just become like an alien.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is you're smart, you have a large vocabulary, you have a large knowledge base, you make jokes that are clever. It's like you're talking to a raccoon, though, because they're stupid. They're hot, but they're stupid. But they think you're dumb because they don't understand what you're saying and they don't understand any of your references or any of this. And you end up being punished for being smart. The guys of average intelligence do better in high school with chicks than the smart guys do. But that's all right. You have your day because here's what happens. This is what Drew did. You're punished, and how you're almost punished for being smart, but then you go to high, and then you graduate, and then you get into med school, and then now it's payback time. Oh, yes. Now,
how is it payback time again?
Oh, I know. You better talk to Drew about this.
I got to take some nuts from Drew.
He left a trail of candy stripers behind of candy stripers. Like Sherman going through Atlanta.
Oh.
It just burned everything in sight.
Yeah.
He took on all comers.
Yeah.
He's a passionate man.
He's a passionate
and
man.
It's time, and it's payback. And what it is, too, is you save up your passion. You have a lot of passion built up. That passion dam overflowing from all the passion you had to turn in on yourself in high school.
Yeah.
You didn't have anyone to release your passion on. You had to release the passion in your own hamper. You see what I'm saying? And now it's payback time in the passion department.
Okay.
All right. So Ben went to Beverly High, which is nice. Beverly High has a swim gym.
Yeah.
It has a It's a Wonderful Life, I think they filmed
that. That's correct.
It has a retractable gym floor with a swimming pool under it, right?
Absolutely.
I have a Busby Berkeley musical from, it's crazy.
It's
stuff.
Have you ever seen it actually retract?
I've probably seen
you
it
know
like
about
on
it.
TV or something like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is cool. That's the coolest thing about Beverly.
The point
that
is...
That and the oil well.
This thing was built, this retractable swim gym thing must have been built in the 30s or something.
It was built as part of FDR's plan to, hand out paychecks during the Great Depression. It
Where
was
the
actually
hell was
a public
it when
work
they built
pattern.
North Hollywood High? You know, we didn't have a goddamn pool. We had to go to the North Hollywood Y that was like 4 miles away if you wanted to swim, and then it was just a cesspool over there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. A lot of good things happen when you're camped out on top of a lot of oil.
Yes.
The school creates a lot of extra revenue for the government.
Beverly Hills High has an oil derrick in the back of it, really, like next to the football field.
That's correct.
And as a matter of fact, there's a whole lawsuit going on now because somebody, and it's one of these, nutty broad attorneys who goes
it's
by...
Aaron Brockovich. Who's kind of gotten involved in that.
Yes, Aaron Brockovich of movie fame, the real one, though, not Julia Roberts. It'd be nice to see her getting involved, but said you got the real one. She thinks that there's caused some cancer because of this oil derrick, and she's suing I don't know who. What about you, Ben? How do you feel? You all right? Any problems?
I've always felt fine.
Yeah. Listen, everyone in Los Angeles, the airborne particles.
Sure. Yeah, living in the city, I'm sure you're just like a setup for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
We all live shorter than if we had lived in the country.
And here's the thing. Say you die a few years earlier, but you got that swim gym where you actually have a retractable floor with an Olympic-sized swimming pool under it and a wooden gymnasium floor under it. You hit a button, and it's like something out of the Batcave. It just starts parting like the Red Sea.
I'll give you a quick story about it because it's incredible. Oingo Boingo played in our school gym when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
It was amazing. Oingo Boingo played in our high school and they played at the swim gym. They sold 1,400 tickets. It was insane. And they had their whole band set up on one end of the gym, like where, let's say, when the gym comes over the hardwood comes over the pool, where, let's say, one of the baskets would be, if you were thinking of it as a basketball court. So they're set up on one end of the gym. The floor fills up with people dancing. And if you recall, with Oingo Boingo, it was all about, jumping up and down and jumping in rhythm with the band.
Right.
And before you know it, because it's kind of like one flat piece of wood that's suspended over water, the middle of the gym is literally going up and down.
It's bouncing.
It's bouncing because everybody's jumping in rhythm. You've got 1,000 kids jumping up and down on the same piece of wood at the same time. Oingo Boingo's got like 2 stories worth of amps about to topple over and kill like 200 kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Would have been awesome.
They had to literally stop in the middle because they were afraid that the amps were going to get toppled over.
What song were they rocking out to?
I don't even remember, but it was just one of those things you remember. Possibly.
Oh, man. Dr. Ben.
It was awesome. That was my one fond memory of high school.
I remember. Yeah. Let me tell you what we had at North Hollywood High.
Go for it.
All right. You ready?
Go.
Close your eyes so you can compare and contrast the Oingo Boingo playing at the swim gym at Beverly Hills High to what went on at North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
The guy who played LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes, the little guy played the Frenchman from Hogan's Heroes, came and spoke on the Holocaust. That's what we had.
That was fun.
That was our idea. Hey, everybody. Yeah, we're having an assembly. Yeah. See this guy? Yeah. He was in a show that's about 20 years old. Yeah, yeah. He's going to talk about the Holocaust.
Wow.
There you go. Everyone, enjoy. Have a fun life.
No wonder you're so bitter.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. God damn. Oh, my God. Oingo Boingo and LeBeau talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah, you got
to. And by the way, understand, you weren't in World War II. You weren't a prisoner of war in World War II. That was a sitcom that was filmed on a soundstage in 1968.
Yeah.
You idiot. Why don't those guys become spokespeople for stuff? You're in a sitcom about World War II. You weren't actually a prisoner of war in World War II.
Makes no sense.
All right. There's no justice. You get Oingo Boingo, I get LeBeau. Let's take ourselves a little break. I'm thinking about killing myself. I got a plan. I got to kick my dad in the nuts.
We shouldn't talk about high school, Adam. It's putting you in a bad way.
It's clearly upsetting.
Yeah.
What'd you get on the SATs? You remember? Yeah, you know.
Don't even want to talk about it.
14,
something that didn't get me a date.
But it was into the were you into the 14s?
I was just shy of 14. Yeah, it was 1380.
1380. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a smart
man. Thank you very much.
That's a smart man.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't take the SAT. Why bother? Where was I going? In junior college. Yeah. That only hurts you. Yeah, by the way, once I had the knowledge of the Holocaust that LeBeau gave me, I was ready.
We're
to
done.
I was ready to take on the world.
Sure.
Yeah, who needs testing?
Yeah.
That? Got LeBeau telling you about Dachau. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Are we on, Anderson? Yeah? Hey, buddy. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. And doing a spectacular job.
Thank you. Can I ask Anderson for a quick favor before? Because I used to be able to just kind of say something through the glass. Now I can't do that. I have to actually say it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get that mayonnaise drop somewhere in there? Can I get Snoop's drop? Ooh, I missed that.
Special request. That's
Anderson.
My main mayonnaise.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
my favorite drop ever.
Yeah, really?
Love that.
Mayonnaise,
Snoop,
my
Doggy Dog, name. And Dr. Drew was at your door.
Izzle for chisel, dizzle.
That must have been such a great show.
Yes.
That must have been
always a good guest. Yeah. Anderson.
I know what you're going to ask for. Hold on.
I haven't heard in a long time. I'm going to hear a new season of Crank Yankers, by the way, on Comedy Central. And Dr. Drew and I did a Crank Yanker call where Dr. Drew had to get a little more urban. I explained to one of the callers that MTV was thinking about putting Loveline back on the air, but they wanted Drew to sort of be a little more urban, to talk to the kids a little more.
Got it.
And Drew was going to practice with some
with
of the
crank
kids.
Anchors.
Yeah. So,
okay. Do you have that?
Got it, Anderson? Let's hear that. All right. Should I be quiet?
No, I got it. It's on disc, so I had to go get it and put it in and cue it, and now we're good to go.
It's incredible that Anderson can actually pull these things up that quickly, because you figure there's been, 10,000 shows, and he can just kind of find it?
Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Well, this is one of Adam's favorites, so I keep it close.
Oh, you keep it. Yeah. Right.
I haven't heard it in a long time, though.
Hello?
Hey, is Bo in?
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Hello?
Bo, this is Adam Carolla.
Hi.
You know the show Loveline, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, good. Are you in a room that's quiet where we can talk a little bit?
Well, I know where I jack off.
Yeah, go
where you jack off.
Yeah, go where you jack off. Classic. All right.
There. We're in the barn. That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
barn.
Bo, what we're doing here is we're putting together a tape for MTV because we're trying to get the show back on the air.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
And we're going to have Drew kind of hip it up a little, be a little more urban, okay?
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Hell yeah.
All right, so let's just take it like a regular Loveline call, and we'll just start at the beginning. Bo, right. 18, you're on Loveline. What's your problem?
Well, the problem is I have no sex life.
But why ain't you got no play, playa?
I don't know.
So you ain't hitting the skins.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You undoubtedly are looking to get the throb and guzzle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel ya.
In the meantime, you're sitting in the hizzy by yourself, thinking about Areolapalooza action. In the meantime, your dong ain't doing shit. We heard when the call picked up. You got all those shorties running around there. You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk. You feel me? Church, you feel me?
Yeah.
If you had a hizzy, you'd be out of the... house. I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy. For chizzy.
Go with the flow. Don't talk. Just talk the way you want to.
So I didn't have to use all that freak I tore up the ass, Areola Palooza, Muffio Tang, throbbing guzzle crap in the ass. Shit, right?
Fuck them, be yourself. Who gives a shit what they want?
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you, don't be a player hater. Because when you tap her in the ass, you ain't going to be interested in pistol rubbing no more. And the digit is Dizzle, and in the hizzy for chizzy, going to be great on the QT for real.
Stay fresh, nigga.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Wow. Wow. What did you have to give him to say that? Was that really him?
Yeah, that was
That's unbelievable.
Well, he didn't see look, that was like for him it was like swearing in a different language because we were just holding up dry erase boards that had all this crazy talk on Areola Palooza and all this crazy junk and throb and guzzle and all that and
so
spunk
funny.
Drunk and all this that stuff. He was just reading it as fast as we could write it on the thing and then we got into a colossal argument when he wouldn't read one of the boards and I started yelling at him. It was very uncomfortable. For everyone else.
That's funny. That's a great draw. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
okay, I want to copy that.
All right.
If you had a hizzy, you'd be out of the house.
That's how you knew he didn't know what he was talking
exactly.
about. If you had a, essentially saying, it's like if it was Spanish, it'd be like saying, if you had a casa, you'd be out of the house. If you had a house, you'd be out of the house.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Amy.
That's funny.
Yes.
It says here you're dead wrong about LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes.
Absolutely, you are.
She can prove it. She can prove it. Now,
that's
what do you mean I'm dead wrong about LeBeau?
Well, I'm telling you that he was on Hogan's Heroes. He was an actor, but he was also in a concentration camp during World War II as a child.
All right.
That's
good enough. All right.
You know, you're slipping. I know you're a genius.
You're slipping.
But that was the second time in like a week or so.
Who cares? Second time in a week.
I care.
Second
time
in a week
you.
Or so.
I know you can't care, so I'm caring for
all
you.
All right, listen.
Ouch.
Quiet, junkie. And let me ask you this. It's obviously the work of a big woman. Second time, what are you talking about the second time?
Roberto Duran came up. I think last week.
Oh, yeah. I said he wasn't from, he's from Panama, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I knew you knew that.
I did know Roberto Duran was from
Panama.
But
you said he was Colombian.
Right.
And he was such a fierce,
warrior.
Yeah. I guess.
Panama, Colombia, by the way. All totally right. Different places. Have you ever been to
right.
Panama? Night and day. Right. Same
well,
place.
Well, they are.
Okay. All right, Amy. Listen,
time,
you gotta get on that treadmill and get some dates going. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you listening to the show, but you're a big gal, yes?
Yes.
This is the work of a big gal, and what I'm gonna need you to do, and I know you're obsessed with the show, and probably moi.
It's my relaxation.
All right,
my relaxation.
That's all right. I know what you're saying. See, when you have to speak for a couple hours, once in a while, something comes out the wrong way.
Are you a Mormon?
All right, it's not going to work because Drew's not in the hizzy tonight. But, you say Roberto Duran is from, where did I say he was from?
Panama.
He said
it was Panama.
He's from Panama, but I said the other night he was from Colombia.
Right.
See, these things happen when you talk for 2 hours a night. But I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're fact-checking. And how did you know where Roberto Duran was from, by the way?
My boyfriend is a big fan of boxing, and he makes me watch these Rocky movies. He had like a cameo in one of them.
All right. Good enough. And what do you do? You do something in the nursing world? You work with kids?
Oh my God!
What do you do?
Oh no!
I knew you guys were a genius. That's exactly.
What do you do?
I work in the NICU here.
Yeah. The neonatal intensive care unit.
Mm-hmm. So you're a nurse who works with kids. All right.
Baby.
God bless
unbelievable.
You.
Adam, that was... how'd you do that?
Amy, have we ever spoke before?
No.
Unbelievable.
Does it say anything on the screen other than you're dead wrong about it?
Unbelievable.
What did I say, kids and nurse?
I am in shock.
Thanks.
Wow.
I know the sound of people.
Unbelievable. You've done the show way too long. Is this from the show? just experience talking to like 1,000 callers.
Yeah.
After
probably
a while,
had a little bit of it before the show.
Unbelievable. Clairvoyance. You could be like that guy who has a show about
Edwards.
The dead, you know, like talking to the dead. You could be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hate to kiss my own ass here, but that was nursing and kids, and she's a kid's nurse.
Got it.
That was weird.
I was here to see that.
Thank you. Good. Glad you brought that up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Just intuition. I got the big ass. I got the nurse. I got the kids part. No, I know my fans.
Can't argue with that.
All right. Here we go. Moving on with the show. And yes, LeBeau probably was talking to us at North Hollywood High because as a very young boy, he was in some camp somewhere in Germany or Poland. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 15?
I'm 16.
16. And by the way, made the presentation all that much more depressing while you were rocking to Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
We were trail of tears.
I cannot
to listen
complain
to LeBeau
about high
talking
school
about,
ever again.
Thank you.
I didn't go to North Hollywood High.
Thank you. Jessica, go ahead.
My question is, when I went with my friends a couple times, and I noticed when I get high, I get like more attracted to girls than I do guys. Like I push guys away. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I just...
You ever do anything with a girl?
Not unless I'm high.
Yeah, I know, but... Okay. You ever do anything with a girl when you're high?
Well, sometimes.
What have you done? I mean, you ever had sex with a girl?
No. All I've done is I've made out with a girl, and we got topless, but that's it. But...
Yeah. Do you do it to get attention from guys, though, or the guys around?
I've done it with just my best friend.
And you just get topless.
Well, yeah, because I'm...
Here's my question. I know women don't really have that sort of finishing deal, closing, killer instinct that guys have, because there's not so much place for them to go. But do they, you know, why is it that you just got topless? You know, you're with your best friend, you're high, your shirts are off, you're making out. How come the pants stay on?
Because I don't know, that's all we really get to.
Was that her idea or both?
And I don't.
Does she want to move further and you want to slow it down?
No, she doesn't try to.
So that was enough.
Huh?
That was enough fooling around with your friend.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you want to know if that makes you what, a lesbian?
Yeah.
A bisexual?
Yeah.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, he gets turned on. I don't know. He likes it.
Yeah.
And I don't...
So put it together. 16
when you're in
years
high
old.
School, do you think, imagine this going on?
This is... Yeah. There's something going on.
All right.
It's not what you... You know, if she's 16 years old, she's getting high, she's being experimental, and her boyfriend likes it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's obviously, I think the first thing to talk about is, you know, what's going on in her end as far as relationships and
how
is her dad or
ooh,
what's happened to her.
Good question.
Kid.
How old is your boyfriend?
I'm 17.
17.
Yeah.
And you're not doing any of this just to please him. You're just doing it because you're smoking weed and getting into it.
Mm-mm. He got me into weed, but I didn't.
He got you into weed. How often do you smoke?
Maybe once every 2 days.
Hmm. Kind of a lot for a 16-year-old chick.
Something happened.
Well,
here's the thing.
Less than him.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, you know, most of North America smokes less than he does. He smokes every day.
He brings it to me. I wouldn't know where to get it.
Here's the thing, Jessica. I ain't uptight. You know, I'm not your daddy, but I can tell you that weed, it slows you down a little bit. And it's all right for us adults. We need to slow down a little bit. But your kids, you don't need to slow down. And what you need to do is absorb as much stuff as you can absorb in high school and then in college. And then you see if you can regurgitate it later on in life. That's basically how it works. And when you absorb the THC, you don't really absorb that much else when you're 16. And that's why when you talk to guys who have been smoking steadily since 16, I see them at 37 and they seem like they're 16. They look like they're 37. Actually, they look like they're 40. But they seem like they're 16 because nothing else really gets in. They've just been high the whole time. You don't want to turn in that. And I worry about this guy. I don't think he's so good for you, Jessica.
Well,
I don't like this guy.
A's, and he
what's
does
that?
Too.
You both
he's
get
really
straight A's?
Really, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good thing, but that'll probably stop one of these days, too, and especially for him if he's smoking out every day.
Well, I'm trying to get him to quit, but he won't. He doesn't want to.
All right. Well, one of the ways to slow him down is not to smoke out with him every other day.
He just does it in front of me. He just starts doing it.
Yeah, you don't have
to
do
it.
He's
got no choice.
All right. Here's the thing, Jessica. Look, you get high and you do, you know, you get a little amorous with one of your buddies. Fine. Here's what you got to focus on. Don't get pregnant. Don't let this guy knock you up. That's going to screw things up. You get straight A's. Fine. Go off to college somewhere. Do not get this guy to get you pregnant, and don't smoke out with him if you want to get him to quit. And see if you can, because it's just really, like I said, here's the thing about weed. What we did is we overreacted to weed. We made a big deal about weed. And by the way, as a society, we made a big deal about weed back when it wasn't even one-tenth of what it is now. I mean, if you think about it, the weed that we were talking about and all that reefer madness stuff was just a bunch of shaken leaves. I had to smoke a novelty-sized Cuban cigar-sized joint, like a Cheech and Chong-sized joint, to catch half a buzz. Now the stuff, it's got like crystals and red hairs on it and stuff. You open up a bag of weed and smell it, you get high. I mean, I can smell weed that's been wrapped in a baggie, shoved in foil, and crammed up someone's butt walking down the street, like on the other side of the street. It's crazy. Chris, back me up here. Weed. It's crazy now. It's crazy. Science has gotten into it. It's all this hydroponic stuff. Stuff's like, people pull out weed now. It's like sticky, and it's got hairs and crystals and like elves and red stars and blue diamonds. It's crazy.
Definitely.
And you get high out of your brain, by the way. It's like you get too high. So here's the thing. We went nuts early with the weed. We said it was going to kill you, and you're going to go mental and jump off buildings and stab your mom and stuff. None of that happened, and then everyone started to ignore it, and now everyone's smoking this super chronic weed, and it is a little bit of a problem, especially when you're in high school, and especially, you're 16 years old, it's shutting you down. Let's take it easy on the weed. I'm not saying you can't smoke. Here's the deal. Smoke it when you get a little bit older. That's all.
Drew would talk probably about, you know, this is more Drew's area of expertise, but he would probably talk about the developing brain and its how it gets affected in relationship to THC as opposed to, let's say, somebody who's kind of mostly done with neural development.
That's right.
The long-term effects.
Here's the thing. Your brain is wet until you're like 18, and it's like a sidewalk that's been freshly poured with concrete. You don't want someone to come along with a stick and put their initials in it because it'll be there for 100 years. Mm-hmm. Once the concrete dries, have at it.
Wow.
Go at it with a jackhammer. It doesn't matter. That's what I do with my brain.
You know what I'm noticing, Adam? Other than this telepathic stuff that you get through those microphones, thing, you're also making very good concrete, if you don't mind the pun.
Very good.
Analogies to medical issues.
God bless you.
You've learned that.
God bless you, Ben. Drew, if you're listening, don't come home. You have no job here. As a matter of fact, you're dead to me. Do not come home. Dr. Ben, new sheriff in town. We can give him at one-tenth the price, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be back on in Tennessee in 2 weeks.
That's
so why don't you
right.
got no play, player?
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is an OGBYN who's filling in for Dr. Drew. So we will take calls of that nature. And here's one of them now. Adrian?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just wondering about my period because I noticed the last two times the amount of blood was decreasing a lot, and it was reduced to 5 days instead of 7, and I was just wondering what could have caused it.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things, Adrian. First of all, are you on any medications?
Well, I just started birth control, but that was the second period. It was like right before I started the pills.
Okay, because you realize one of the things that the pills will do for you is they'll make your periods lighter.
Yeah.
So I understand that this was before the pill, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you get... Are you just recently sexually active?
No.
Why did you get on the pill, I guess I'm asking?
What's that?
Why did you get on the pill?
Well, we weren't all that careful at first, and I accidentally got pregnant.
Okay.
So I decided to get more serious about it.
Okay. Well, great. You made the right decision. Yeah. And that would be another reason why somebody would have, let's just call it abnormal periods, is if they're pregnant, and the pregnancy is not a normal pregnancy. Like a miscarriage would result in some abnormal bleeding and a period that's all of a sudden very, very light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as you're not pregnant, and as long you can do a simple urine pregnancy test, and as long as you weren't on birth control pills before, there are some other things that can cause it. A couple of other things would be what's going on with your weight.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you weigh, and how tall are you?
I'm 5'5", and I weigh about 135. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There hasn't been a huge shift in weight lately.
No, about 10 pounds.
In what way? In what direction?
Up.
Up. Okay. Because it's usually, you know, another reason to go along this line of reasoning is that, you know, anorexia, eating disorders, sudden loss of weight, you need a certain amount of fat to make enough estrogen in order to have regular periods. And sometimes if, especially if this is going in the other direction, you're losing weight, you can end up with lighter periods. So basically what I can tell you is
Your body not, does your body, if you're becoming anorexic, does your body say, we're not losing any blood, like we need to hang, is it trying to do, because I know your body will sort of compensate when you try to screw with it. Is it saying we're going to try to hang on to all the nutrients or all the iron or all the whatever, all the fluid we possibly can?
You can look at it in 100 ways, but it's basically, it's a stress response. So anytime you stress people out, like, you know, even, and you know, you have to realize that the gland that controls regular menses is actually at the base of the brain. The pituitary gland controls menses. So even though it's our ovaries that are responding to pituitary hormones, it's our uterus that's actually where the menses is coming from. It's really the brain.
My uterus is where?
It's really the brain. And so stress actually causes people to miss periods all the time. You frequently see it throughout September, October. I see it when, you know, girls who go away to college for the first time, all of a sudden they're leaving the house. They're taking, you know, college courses. They're totally getting freaked out and they stop having periods. That's very common.
Wow.
Just the stress responds to all that stuff. So, you know, I can tell you in general, Adrienne is not going to run into this problem much longer because now that she's on birth control, first of all, she won't have to worry about pregnancies. Second of all, her periods will become completely predictable and will all be just about the same from one cycle to the next because she's always going to be exposing herself, as long as she doesn't forget her pills, to the same amount of hormones. And her periods are going to become beautifully regular and the same with every cycle.
Well, it's going to be a great day for all of us.
Okay.
I'm going to take some calls people have been on hold for 131 minutes. For instance, Caitlin over here. 131 minutes. Caitlin, you're 15. Are you still awake?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Caitlin.
Sorry, Dr. Ben put you on hold for
you
all that time.
You stuck with us. You are awesome.
What's going on, sweetie pea?
Wow.
You get your head together. I will read the screen. It says, falls hard for older guys. In love with a 17-year-old boyfriend. Really? Is it love or isn't it? Is he your boyfriend that's 17, or is it just a guy you have a crush on?
He's my boyfriend. We got together a few months ago.
All right, and do you have sex?
We've been friends since, like, kindergarten.
Okay. Have you had sex with him?
No.
Okay. And
I have never had sex, but I have had, like, really lengthy relationships with older guys.
Okay, but what is the problem? You have a boyfriend. He's a couple of years older. You're not having sex with him. It sounds sort of okay.
Well, the thing is, he's going to college next year, and I'm just going to be a sophomore. And
he's going away to college.
Yeah, and we both know that it's not going to last because we don't.
I know, and you both know it's not going to last. That's pretty good. It means you're both smart. Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. You should have a number of relationships. If you want to call failed relationships, so be it. But just a number of relationships before you end up in that 8-year marriage before you get divorced ultimately with the 3-year-old, like Dr. Ben's going to do.
Yeah.
But that's the point. You need to have a number. This is natural. This is what happens. People do, they get together and then they grow apart or they go to college or whatever. Trying to keep something going while he's halfway across the country is going to be, it's going to be a road paved with heartache. So you're mature about it. Fine. But here's the thing. Don't have sex with him because then that's setting the hook.
It's like making me too attached.
You'll get too emotionally attached, and then it'll be like, well, he was my first, and now he's going. And you'll try to keep it going, and he'll start having sex with some sorority chick, and your heart will be broken. That's it. He's going away. He's going away to college. Fine. But he gets no nookie before he leaves.
Why is it that, do you think that I'm getting so attached? Like, every guy that I will be with, but especially this guy. I can't let go, you know?
Oh, listen, well, this is what 15-year-old girls do. This is what 15-year-old guys do.
This is Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
This is like young love.
Young love.
So
you're fine. And the fact that he's going off to college and you know that this thing is going to end means you're emotionally and intellectually way ahead of the game. And it's going to hurt, and that's fine. That you should. You need a certain amount of that. All right, someone else been on hold for 120
Unbelievable.
Minutes.
Unbelievable.
Ashley?
Ashley.
Hi.
You're 16. You get real close to an orgasm during sex, but you can't have one. Now, that's during intercourse.
Yeah.
And what about oral sex?
I don't really get off of that. So my boyfriend and I don't really experiment with that.
You don't experiment with oral sex, but you have intercourse. Are you using protection?
Yeah.
What are you using?
Condoms, and I'm trying to get on birth control, but my dad never lets me out of the house, so I don't really have a ride to the clinic.
Yeah. How do you have so much sex with your boyfriend if your dad never lets you out of the house?
Well, my mom is good friends with his mom, and so I'm allowed to go over to his house a lot.
Pimpy over there. Okay, that's good parenting.
Can I mention something to Ashley?
Hey, you got 10 seconds.
You need good birth control, and I can tell you this is a recipe for disaster. You guys are going to mess around, and you're eventually going to get pregnant, and at your age, I'm not sure that that's something that you really want to do. In the state of California, I'll just mention this real quick, now we can get emergency contraception.
Fantastic.
Without a prescription, through a pharmacy, and...
She's calling from Maryland.
I know, but just this is for everybody that's here and can get to one of these pharmacies. People who aren't on hormonal contraception, people who are, let's say, on condoms, you can go to a pharmacy today before there's an accident.
Right.
Get emergency contraception.
God bless you.
Have it in their back pocket.
Remember 20 minutes ago when I said 10 seconds?
And just in case, they can use it.
Okay.
So
smart.
You can play with fire, but you can still have the, the fire.
Get out of jail free.
Get out of jail free card.
And that's what the religious right can't stand. But they say they hate abortions. Ooh, I wonder which one it is. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Dr. Ben for coming in here and doing a fantastic job as usual.
It was fun.
Always a good time. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Ben saying...
Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.